do you think the prophet Isaiah knew about blacksmithing when he proclaimed that the people would transform their swords into plows and their spears into pruning hooks? I wonder if Isaiah knew what I know as the mother of a blacksmith. I've spent years now watching Eden learn how to smith. It's a craft, a practice that even in this age of how-to videos is still best learned practicing alongside someone with a bit more experience. The basics of blacksmithing are pretty simple. If you can hammer a nail into a wall to hang a picture, then you have the basic skills. I'll apologize right now to all the other parents whose kids just added anvil and hammer to their Christmas wish list. But take heart. Beating metal is a blissfully low-tech activity in our very high-tech world. Blacksmithing is completely screen-free. It's low-tech, but not low-intensity. Beating swords into plowshares is far from a passive or weak image. Blacksmithing requires hours of standing on your feet, close enough to the forge's fire to sweat, grasping hot metal with heavy tongs, lifting a hefty hammer over and over, bearing the sting of sparks as they fly from the impact of metal on metal, tending to burns and bruising bruised and occasionally broken fingers. It is slow, hard work making and repairing things one swing at a time. Slow, hard work like walking to the top of a mountain. That's where Isaiah says God will be giving out instructions for everyone who wants them. Listen to these instructions. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. We are not going to learn war. But apparently, we are all going to learn how to blacksmith. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. They shall. Isaiah is talking about the people beating their own swords and spears, about us, not God, beating swords and spears. We will turn the swords to plowshares, those spears to pruning hooks. We will be the ones to transform our tools of destruction into tools of life. The peace we are looking for begins with us, with people learning how to blacksmith. And as blacksmiths, we'll also need to learn how to wait. Blacksmithing is a lot of waiting. Waiting for the forge to heat up, waiting for the metal to get hot, waiting for just the right moment to pull the iron out of the fire, that is, when it's glowing bright orange and finely malleable and workable. And then it's out of the forge and onto the anvil for a few well-placed strikes of the hammer. Not necessarily hard strikes, but accurate ones. And then it's back to the forge to wait for the metal to heat again. It is a patient and deliberate process. Heat, hammer, repeat. Heat, hammer, repeat. Until the metal finally reaches its desired shape. Metal isn't transformed in a single heating in the forge or the single stroke of a hammer. A patient and deliberate process, much like the kind of active waiting Advent invites us into, a waiting that invites our attention and our participation. I wonder if Isaiah chose plows and pruning hooks to ground this prophecy firmly on the earth. Plows and pruning hooks are tools that have no function other than to work the land, and with just enough pressure to shape it into domestic farms and cultivated arbors. And while plows and pruning hooks are images easy enough to call to mind, our collective memory of how to use them to till and keep the land is fading. I remember one afternoon at the camp farm with a group of first grade students. We were having a lot of fun watching the Rhode Island red chickens hunt and peck for food. And I proudly shared with these campers that these chickens were making eggs that we would be using in the camp kitchen. Confused, one student looked at me and said, "Nuh-uh, eggs come from the grocery store." It matters that we know the story of how our food is grown, who grows it, and how it gets to our tables. It matters because food literally connects us to the earth and to each other. It matters because, as author Michael Pollan says, how we eat determines to a great extent the use we make of the world and what is to become of it. We are putting a lot of pressure on the earth to provide food. Many of the tools and techniques on which farmers rely to boost output also harm the environment. Three very quick examples. One, heavy irrigation is depleting aquifers and rivers in many of the world's most productive agricultural regions, including California and the Mediterranean Basin. Two, the farming of cattle and livestock is by far the major use of all agricultural land, and it is creating a very large proportion of global greenhouse gas emissions. Three, industrial agriculture depends on synthetic fertilizers, which accelerate food production, but they also pollute waterways, creating dead zones out of formerly life-giving estuaries on which the oceans depend. There's more to say. The point is that the tools and the systems we currently have are at best dysfunctional and at worst destructive. Our tools and systems of caring for the earth need not just repair, but change. In an essay in her book Belonging, the late scholar and activist Bell Hooks said, "If we could focus ourselves and just be concerned about the environment, what a different world we would live in." She writes with a gentle beauty about her family's history, explaining that she came from a long line of Black farmers who lived in the South. She says, "Living in modern society without a sense of history, it's been easy for folks to forget that Black people were first and foremost a people of the land, farmers living so close to nature. Black folk were able to cultivate a spirit of wonder and reverence for life, growing food to sustain life and flowers to please the soul. They were able to make a connection with the earth that was ongoing and life-affirming. They were witnesses to beauty. Living close to nature, we learn how to cultivate wonder, honor life, and witness beauty. Living close to the earth, we remember our place in it." No wonder Isaiah chose plows and pruning hooks. Having peace on earth means finding peace with the earth. Peace on earth and peace with the earth begins by remaking our tools and reshaping our imaginations. New blacksmiths often start learning by making a nail. In my blacksmith's case, it seemed like very many nails. Slightly more advanced, or a next step, would be to make a drive hook, which is a combination nail and hook, something you could tap into a wall and then hang up a coat or a book bag. I heard a story once about a blacksmith who was completing their very first drive hook. And with a growing feeling of accomplishment, they landed the final stroke on the drive hook, and then they held it up to look at their accomplishment. Their face dropped, they put it down, said it's useless, and walked off. A more experienced blacksmith saw what had happened. He walked over and he looked at the drive hook that had been left behind, and he immediately saw the problem. The nail and the hook were facing the same direction. So he invited the newer smith back to the forge. The more experienced smith placed the drive hook back into the fire and waited for it to heat. And when it was bright orange, he took it out and he gave it a few twists. The nail now faced away from the hook, and the final product was not only functional, it was beautiful. Blacksmiths know that tools can be remade. They do it all the time. Isaiah sees a time when we will remake the broken into the beautiful. Tools meant for fighting will become tools meant for farming. We will trade in excessive force for sufficiency of need. And if weapons are transformed, the societies and the systems that created them will be too. That's the prophecy, that a time is coming when people will choose trust over fear. Isaiah sees it. But not everyone does. Not everyone sees the world Isaiah describes or believes that it's possible. Hope feels hard for many people today. This is a tough moment to try to imagine the future. Earlier this year, researchers at the University of Bath in the United Kingdom spoke to 10,000 young people, people between the ages of 16 and 25, in 10 different countries, to gauge how they feel about the future. 77% of them said they consider the future to be frightening. 56% of them said they believe humanity is doomed. Those very real feelings of fear and worry affect people's ability to function or to see a path ahead. It can be paralyzing. We don't know what the future is going to look like. But we do know what we need to do right now. Many of our tools and systems need transformation. Farming and food distribution for sure, but also healthcare, education, transportation, housing, immigration, prison reform, and economic reform. We have work to do to build communities and societies that are welcoming and inclusive of all people. We have work to do to keep weapons of war out of our schools, grocery stores, parking lots, and social gatherings. The forging of plows and pruning hooks speaks to a different kind of relationship with the earth and with each other. We are to lay aside tools of destruction and pick up tools of construction. We're to dismantle systems designed to take life and make systems that are designed to honor it. We're to turn our implements of conflict into tools for communal living. We're to end tools and systems that destroy and make tools and systems that are life-giving. No one can do all that work. We need each other. The more complicated a foraging project becomes, the more hands it takes. Some to hold the heated iron, and others to punch holes for handles. No one can do all the work, but we can all do some of the work. This work is the gift we have to give to the world. In this season of gift giving, and in every season. As French philosopher Albert Camus put it, real generosity toward the future lies in giving all to the present. Isaiah and his prophetic community were not trying to predict the future. They were trying to change the present. By casting a vision of the world as it could be, the prophets challenge us not to accept the world as it is. Prophets, like blacksmiths, see the end and then begin. One of my great joys in my work at the Divinity School is serving as the coordinator for our international field education internships. And each summer, we send students abroad to learn from faith leaders around the world. This summer, we'll send students to Bethany Land Institute in Uganda. The institute is headed by the school's longtime friend, Father Joe. And he is helping his community respond to the challenges they see: environmental degradation, food insecurity, and poverty. The vision is to transform rural communities in Uganda through three learning centers: Mary's School, a farm that trains students in conservation and agriculture; Lazarus's Trees, a natural forest where students practice reforestation and ecotourism; and Martha's Market, an agribusiness school that teaches how to create sustainable economic models. The Institute students are called caretakers rather than students. They will never graduate. Instead, they will be commissioned because their work is seen as a beginning of a journey, not the end. Their work will not be completed in their lifetimes. They will plant and water seeds of promise for and with their communities, seeds whose full impact will not be felt even in a generation. It is a patient process of reshaping the world. Caretakers of the world. That is both the end and the means. Not with the blunt force of swords and spears, but with the gentle power of plows and pruning hooks. It is Isaiah's vision embodied, a generous gift to the world. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Who can hear these words and not long for that world? The world God wants us to build together, the world the prophets describe throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, a world where there will be war no more, where there will be good news for the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for the incarcerated and oppressed, a place where our hearts of stone will be transformed to hearts of flesh, and the mountains will bring peace, and justice will roll down like a river, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And we will love kindness and walk humbly. And a little child shall lead us. Emmanuel shall lead us. God will be with us. We are not in this alone. God is at work with us and within us. God is the master blacksmith, standing by the forge. And if we pay attention, God is teaching us how to craft the world Isaiah sees. God is picking up what is broken and dysfunctional and putting it in the fire of the forge. And God is teaching us how to shape beauty from the broken on the anvil of our lives, shaping us to be caretakers, making our work matter. God is forging hope in our world. Amen.